Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. We have a phenomenal week of content planned for all of you listeners, as we will be live all week long from the Arizona Tennis Classic, the ATP Challenger 175K event, now in its fourth iteration of the tournament. Of course, it's our second consecutive year getting to serve as on-site media for the event. And in that capacity, of course, we have the tremendous opportunity to speak with so many different players in the main draw. A reminder to all of you listeners, Christian Garin has to play qualifying at this year's Arizona Tennis Classic. Why is that relevant? Well, it's because he's currently ranked number 87 in the world. That's right. Even with all the withdrawals, that's still the ranking cutoff just to get into this challenger event. So it is a loaded draw, of course, from top to bottom. And look, I will do my best alongside our CR intern, Owen Alderman, to try and grab every player in the main draw. We will try to offer as much coverage of this event as we can, make the most of our opportunity to be surrounded by so many different top 100 players. Again, each of those conversations we do manage to secure, you'll be able to hear them here on the Cracked Interviews podcast feed. And look, the topics are going to be pretty consistent. I'm going to ask what brings each player to Phoenix, going to ask each player for their aspirations in 2024. And then, of course, we'll tailor the rest of the interviews to whomever we are speaking to. The point more broadly is it's going to be a fantastic week of content, and I guarantee you won't want to miss out on any of it. So without further ado, let's get to it. Here is another interview from the Arizona Tennis Classic. Welcome in, everyone, to the Crack Rackets interview booth here at the 2024 Arizona Tennis Classic. Joining me, I think maybe for the first time in our interview booth.
Yeah,
that's crazy to say because our paths should have crossed before this. It's former Illinois All-American, of course, now top 75 player. I have the rankings. It's like 60-ish right
somewhere
now,
around
somewhere
there.
Around
yeah,
there.
Yeah, somewhere
Alex Vukic joins us here in our interview booth, fresh off of an 0-1 victory, by the way, to advance to round number two today. Let's start there. I know it's been an up-and-down start to the 2024 season, but 0-1 speaks for itself. What was working well today? How are you feeling about your game?
Yeah, I felt good. I mean, like you said, it's been a lot of up and down, a lot of injuries. Was hurt at the end of last year and kind of got me going slow and was going well, and then hurt myself after Aussie Open. So then it took me out for another 3-4 weeks. Yeah. So then now starting to play better. You go through... it's also adjusting to this level. Mm-hmm. It's not like you're getting many gimmies.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Especially when you're needing matches or something, it's not like, oh, okay, let me just play and see. You know, like you got a very good competitor on the other side. So things are going the right direction. I'm happy with how I played and competed last week, and yeah, happy with how I competed today, can't complain.
You talk about adjusting to this level. I was looking up the stats. I think it was something like heading into last season, you had 13 career tour level victories. Now, since the start of 2023, I believe that number is 26. So it's straight up just doubling in the course of 15 months.
Yeah.
Has anything changed in particular, or is it just the dominoes kind of falling into place for the first time? What do you think has allowed you to make this breakthrough?
Definitely a bit more mental consistency. I think the game has improved, but I think that's come as a result of that consistency and trying to find a way. I think when you're traveling all around the world, especially sometimes for the Aussies, we're away for so long that you get weeks where maybe, you know, you're just not there. You're human, you know, you're human. And I think it's reducing those weeks and putting yourself in positions, because the level's so close a lot of the time that sometimes, you know, you get lucky, you get unlucky, but you need to be there to get lucky.
Yeah, sure.
So it's, I think just being there a little bit more and also playing with a bit more, like a bit less stress.
Sure.
I think sometimes I felt like in my game, I'm almost just, you know, like too tense and almost just like, okay, I have to relax, and it's okay if you don't win. You can't, you know, you can't control that. So it's also being okay with that as well.
Or just, hey, I can hit a backhand on this point. This exactly. one doesn't need yeah. to be the runner on. Let's save a few steps yeah. maybe for exactly. later on in yeah. the match. No, I absolutely see that. And in terms of confidence and mental consistency, you know, no one is going to demand more of that from you than Novak Djokovic, who, of course, you got the opportunity to play second round at Indian Wells. What was that experience like for you? Obviously, you're able to take a set off of him as well. Dare I say, you knocked him down so that Nardi could ultimately take him out. So he better give you 10% of that paycheck.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
what is that experience like? And, you know, to your point, even in a loss there, do you take away confidence knowing, hey, I just pushed the world number one three sets?
For sure. I think that was one of the things that me and my coach talked about after was yeah. the main goal was not to overplay mm-hmm. and not to beat myself.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier said than done.
Sure.
Because a lot of the notes, the mental notes that I have are quotes from him. So it's kind of just like, okay, what I'm thinking, I've gotten from him, you know? So yeah. it's kind of like, it is a bit intimidating, but you know, when I was out there, I was really just trying to focus on my game and do that. And, you know, I actually thought that I played well and played within myself. And I think that's what gave me the most confidence, was being able to play at a level that I felt like I could sustain. Mm-hmm. And that's what gave me confidence, where I didn't win, but yeah. you know, you can't win all the matches, but sure. I was able to push him, you know, to three sets, make him uncomfortable at least. But being able to produce that game, which I felt like I wasn't like, oh, I need to do it again. It felt like I was within myself, gave me confidence that if I can be within myself 80% of the time, I'm going to win a lot of matches yeah. against, you know, not the greatest of all times, you know? So it's kind of like that's what gave me the confidence. And yeah, now it's up to me to keep, you know, replicating that.
It's again, the ultimate challenge,
yeah,
I suppose,
sure.
in this sport. Not to jump around here quickly, but, and or compare, how does the confidence you gain from a loss like that compare to maybe the confidence you gain in making your first tour level final in Atlanta? Because, you know, that was your first tour level final. It speaks for itself, and just the sustained success week in, week out. What do you learn from an experience like that, I suppose, in contrast?
So different, but so similar in ways where, you know, I was in a different moment then.
Sure.
And I'm in a different moment now. So it's similar, you know, it's still getting confidence from yeah. it, but in a different way. Okay. I think in Atlanta, it was more the fact that I had beaten quite high-ranked opponents on paper, that's what gave me the confidence to be like, okay, I can compete. And I played a good match against Fritz in the final as well. And so that gave me the confidence to be like, okay, these guys have this ranking and I can compete with them. Mm-hmm. This one was a bit more like, you know, I know, you know, he's Novak. So it's kind of yeah. like, it's more the level that I was able to produce and the way I felt within myself. It was a different type of confidence, and from not winning a lot of matches, I felt like it was a step in the right direction, and that's exactly what I needed.
No, it's again been a whirlwind of a 9, 10, 11 month run yeah. for you. And I know you've played a lot of matches just about every season since you have been pro, but how do 6 months consecutively on the ATP Tour compare to 6 months consecutively on the ATP Challenger Tour? I know, you know, I've talked to so many players here this week, and this draw in Phoenix is a particular blend of everyone, so obviously there's going to be some parity, but have you noticed the level? Is that different? Is it consistency? What is it that separates tour level from, dare I say, the ATP Challengers?
First of all, you probably just play some nicer tournaments.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, just in general. I think, you know, obviously the level is slightly higher. People mm-hmm. are still human, though, where they, sure. you know, have days that they don't play as well or they don't compete as well. I think it also depends on ranking, right? Like, because sometimes when you play a Challenger Tour, you're seeded, right?
Sure.
So then you may get easier on paper mm-hmm. matches to begin with, where you're not playing the likes of, you know, the top seeds, mm-hmm. sometimes in the 250s. Then it probably also comes the expectation of yeah. playing in a 250, the different pressures of everything. And I think it's probably more managing that
yeah, sure.
than it is actually the level in itself. The level is slightly higher, but it's also, you know, let's say you're playing a 500 or Masters, immediately you think that you maybe have to do more.
Okay.
It's just that unconscious, oh, you know, I'm playing now. It's just like, I need to do something that, like, I haven't done ever, you know? And
yeah,
you just
sure.
kind of like, you get this, like, feeling that you're like, okay, I need to do something where if you play maybe the same guy in a challenger tour, it might be slightly different.
Sure.
Where it's a bit more, it's all good, yeah. You know, and it's kind of, I think it's more managing.
More familiar. Maybe.
More familiar. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, I'm going through that now. And, you know, the more you play, the more experience you get, the more comfortable you get. And, yeah. And you rarely see guys that, let's say, go from, you know, 200 to like top 10.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. You see guys go 200, then they go to like 50, 60.
Yeah.
And they stay there a little bit, and then they go to 30.
Yeah.
And then they kind of stay there, and then they go to like 15. It's not that easy to go straight up unless you're a freak.
Yeah.
You know, like unless you're a Sinner or a Carlos.
Exactly,
you know, like
no.
Everyone else is a bit like, it's a bit just up and down and
sure.
Riding it and not getting too down.
I always call it the two-thirds rule. If you're winning two-thirds of your matches, 2-1 every week, you are moving up the rank.
Oh, for sure. Especially on the tour, man.
100%.
Yeah, you're having a great year.
Yeah. Exactly. You might be in the tour finals.
Yeah, exactly.
You're winning two-thirds
of
your matches.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Through all of that, I guess this might be a dumb question, so I apologize. And again, it's your first time on the show, but I feel like we know each other, so I'm fine asking a dumb question. Is it still fun, like, to line up against a Djokovic or line up in a final against a top 10 guy in a Fritz? Like, do you allow yourself to embrace a moment like that, or are you so locked in that, you know, again, once the experience is done, that's when you and coach can say, oh, yeah, like, I just played Novak.
Yeah.
Do you still get to have fun in the moment?
I do. I think it honestly depends on the time of the year, because you go through so many ups and downs in the time of the year that sometimes you forget, you know, why you're doing it in the first place. Last week wasn't one of those. I embraced it fully, and I was very grateful to have that experience. But I think, honestly, because it's not like you know, a 21-year-old going on the scene.
Sure.
It's also because I've gone through the college route. It took me, you know, a few years with the COVID, with some injuries, to kind of get myself into a position like this, that I also don't know when, like, when it also all ends.
Yeah, sure.
In a way, like, 100%. It's not like I'm 20
and
it's so it's a bit like I'm gonna play Monte Carlo this year.
Yeah.
It might not be the right move, but I want to play it.
Yeah,
because it's just one of those, it's just like I want to go there.
Never tried it. Experienced
exactly
it. Sure.
and it's like, it's not like, oh, like, you just don't know what can happen.
Yeah.
So I think for myself, I am trying to do that as much as I can, because, you know, if you get an injury, you're out for a few months. You see so many guys that, you know, there's actually a few guys here that got injured, and they're trying to come back and they're trying to play, and they just can't get the rhythm, because you need that confidence, you need that stuff, and it's not that easy to do. So you just don't know.
Yeah. A couple of things off of that. You mentioned taking the college route. Is it fun for you to see, at the time, your freshman, Alexander Kovacevic, now he's in the top 100 and rising with, you know, again, the real ones know in 2018, the Illini freshman to watch was Alex Brown.
Like, yeah, just, that's true.
I want an AB story.
Yeah.
I don't want to throw my source under the bus, but someone told me after his freshman year, AB never won another practice set during the course of a season, which checks out, by the way, because that's how AB rolls.
Yeah.
But how fun is it for you to have guys like Kova, or, you know, again, a Chris Eubanks, Nuno Borges, guys who are very much a part of your college career, having them as part of your pro tour career? And does it shock you to see all of these guys making top 100, top 75 pushes?
It doesn't shock me. It's just very nice to see that there's other ways to do it.
Sure.
I think it's, you know, it's such a cool experience, such a growth experience, and depending on where you go, but you look at the top 100, top 150, how many guys have gone through a college path, and it's just like, you're kind of like, you're still right in the midst of that. It's kind of like, who's next? Who's going to be the next bunch that are coming through? Because there will be,
100%.
You know, because it's an environment that delivers a high pressure situation, and it's kind of like, okay, who's going to come out of it?
Yeah.
But no, it's really great to see, and I'd rather have those guys all in the top 100 than people that I don't know,
yeah,
for sure.
100%. Yeah. No, I was telling Robert Galloway, I was like, you need to, he's playing with Julian Cash this week. I was like, wrong Cash. I was like, there's a Robert Cash at Ohio State right now.
That's true. Yeah.
You should recruit him as your partner in the future.
Yeah.
That's who you want. Like, just look at that in the ranks. And you're right, like, a Chris Rodash is going to be a top 200 player.
Yeah.
Oh, there are a bunch of different guys I could turn to actively right now who are like that. You mentioned the slow burn for you. I'm just curious how gratifying it is to have this success come in your mid-20s, and how that might have compared to, say, had you had success right away in 2018, had you not had the injuries, had there not been these ups and downs. Are you better prepared for that success now, or do you think you value it more, and if so, in what ways?
I don't think so. I think, you know, and I've talked to a lot of, you know, the other guys about it, like the other Illinois guys like Zeke Clark or Alex Brown about it. Like, in a way, like, I don't know. We could go deep into this and see, talk for hours about this. But like, for me, success isn't necessarily like what I get to.
Yeah, sure.
In a way, so even though I'm at a higher ranking, it doesn't mean that I've suddenly done a better job than maybe maybe someone else. So if that came earlier, I don't know, or if that rise to the top 100. But that's how it happened. I don't know if that happened early, if that would be better or worse. I really can't tell you.
I appreciate the candidness of your answer. Let's talk about your game and where you want to go moving forward. Anyone who's seen you play, you know, I guess we'll do this last tangent. Why is the Vuki smash gone? Did you break a wrist? Like, what happened? Because I was explaining that to someone, and they go, that's just not true. And I was like, no, it was true. I was there. I saw it. Why'd it go away? We'd love to have it back.
I actually don't know. I think it was too aggressive.
Turned 20, and you're like, you know what I'm not doing?
I had some wrist problems. Yeah. I said it was the racket. It was me hitting the ground. Yeah.
That was going to go, too. No, I remember there was one. I forget what match it was, where I was like, that one broke it. Yeah, I was like, there's no way he's playing on
Went
Sunday.
Went straight to the physio room right after that one. That's
incredible.
Brad was basically just like, you need to stop. You're going to be out of line.
Mark's like, dude, you can't do this anymore. I need you at one. That's awesome. Well, you know, with your game, obviously, again, the big forehand, the big first serve, that is the foundation of your success. I've talked to players who talk about sometimes you want to minimize weaknesses, but you also do have to spend some time maximizing those strengths. I'm curious how you balance those things right now, because you know the serve, the forehand, those are the money makers. Has that been your focus for development? You know, as that continues to be the focus, what are you trying to develop in your game right now?
I think with my backhand, I'm sure if you talk to others, it's not a shot that hits a lot of winners, if any. I don't maybe hit one in the last match. But I understand that, and it's kind of like, and people know that it's not like, but it's also, if I'm not hitting winners, then it has to do something in a way, and that it has to set up my forehand.
Can't just be a placeholder.
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes in the past, I've tried to do too much with it. I've tried to make it my forehand.
Okay.
And it's not the same shot.
Sure.
So it's kind of like, it's just knowing my game. You know, people can make a career out of knowing what they can do and doing it at their best.
Sure.
In a way, people have stayed in the top 100 for a decade or 15, and you just kind of like, they just know what they can do, and they play, you know, they play within themselves, and they're just like, and I think because I rely a lot on my serve and forehand, I've actually tried to control it more in a way, so it's not, you know, like, because I feel like I have the ability to win a bigger match or do that because of that, but then I can also lose to someone that maybe I shouldn't on paper, and I think I'm trying to kind of control that a bit more and make it a bit more solid, and I think it's never ending. I mean, you see guys that like Novak, that he's improved so much over winning it's 20
crazy.
Slams.
No, it's crazy. I looked at the numbers, like how he is as a spot server. Yeah. Now, he had his third highest hold percentage ever and his highest first serve win percentage, not to cut you off, last season. But like, to prove your point, you're like, he was 36 last year, and statistically it might have been his best year.
Like, and you look at his game, like you watch his game for like now than like 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and the technique 100%. And everything, you're just like, this isn't the same player. And it's the same with Rafa. And it's the same with these guys. So it's like, I think it never stops. I think you're always just trying to find ways where that's trying to come in more. Like Novak's coming in more, you know, and it's kind of like, he's probably trying to shorten up points as well. But it's a bit like, you know, you're just constantly adapting. It's constantly adapting to, you know, now the courts are slower. Now, you know, things are, it's never ending for sure.
Well, again, the development clearly working as you continue to ascend up the rankings. Last few questions for you. You mentioned Monte Carlo in the future. That is a really cool tournament. I'm so jealous you get to play that. Yeah, you need a plus one as your coach.
Yeah, for sure.
Free of charge.
For sure.
You know, no 10% necessary.
Yeah, for
just
sure.
Skip to the pass. But, is red clay something you haven't played a ton of in the past? Is that going to be a focus for you now that you have the ranking, you have that opportunity to maybe play in Estoril, Marrakesh, spend some time in Europe? Is that your plan for the next three
months? For sure. Yeah, so I will play Marrakesh and Monte Carlo qualies, and then...
See, I'm ready to coach. I know the
schedule. Yeah, exactly. That's half of it. Yeah. I'm going to give it a go. It will be my first full season. I don't mind the clay.
I feel like your forehand's going to be good.
I like the quick clay. Yeah. So I like the quick clay with a serve, can still do something, and the backhand actually can still be like hot clay is probably.
For sure.
I do quite enjoy it, and I've had some decent results at French, and last year made a final of a challenge on red clay, so haven't played too much, but I really don't mind it. And I think, you know, like you said, it's I put myself in this position, so it's kind of like to see what it's about, and you know, a lot of these tournaments are. They're great tournaments, so it'll be cool to experience them.
Yeah, well, again, certainly looking forward to seeing how you do on the red clay. How helpful is it for you, you know, these past two seasons, or really three seasons, you've had these end-of-year pushes. I think a couple of years ago it was Charlottesville and Champaign. I know last year, again, similar sort of success. Obviously, you mentioned this earlier. I imagine it's just nice more broadly to go to Champaign for a week after 6 months on the road to have a familiar environment. I doubt you're staying in a hotel room. Someone there's got a spot
for, sure.
for you always. For sure. How nice is it to have that community to turn to know that the Illini alums are out there supporting you at all times?
Yeah, especially, you know, with the coaching staff, with Brad and now Tim Kopinski, you know, I'm very close with both. So I stayed with Tim the last time I was there, and it was, you know, he's renovating his place, but it was still, it was him, Zeke, and me staying in his place. So it was just... You know, it doesn't feel like you're on the road, and it breaks it up. And even here, you know, or anywhere in America, they do such a good job of providing housing or something like that, and getting out of a hotel room, because the hotel rooms can get repetitive.
Yeah,
but especially in Champaign, I think it's I always feel comfortable, and as long as you know the coaching staff is there, and I feel like it's always a place for me to go to.
I love it. Well, then, last question: goals for 2024. What do you hope to accomplish this season? World
honestly,
number one?
Honestly, like I've actually just stopped thinking about that.
Smart.
Because it doesn't help for me anyway. I think some guys it does. So honestly, I'm just focusing on tomorrow, as lame as it sounds. Yeah. That's the only thing. Apart from that, we'll see end of November where I'm at.
That's all I can ask for is honesty. Answer. So I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to the day by day. And it's really great to get the opportunity to do this. We should have done it sooner, and hopefully we'll do it again soon.
Appreciate it, man. It was fun.
Good luck this week.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.